to use this Lie-algebra splitting to construct soliton hierarchies. But once we have this splitting, it tells a lot of information. So meaning remarkable properties of soliton equations can be derived just from this simple algebraic data. So for example, the inverse scattering, the Backlund transformations which produce new solutions from a given solution, and it also such a soliton equation always have two Hamiltonian structure. And also the last two, which I would like to be able to spend more time talk about, is the construction of tau function and the Virasoro actions on tau function also come from this algebraic method. So this, actually this is a project I had with Karen Uhlenbeck for many years. So we understand, we understood the first parts for quite a, maybe even 10 years ago, we already understand pretty well the up to the bi-Hamiltonian, but we never really interested in tau function and Virasoro action at the time, because in differential geometry at the time, we didn't know what we can use it, but then maybe, so now I want to talk about some examples in differential geometry that are soliton equations. So for example, in classical surface theory, the Gauss-Kardashev equation of surfaces in R3 with Gaussian curvature minus one, that equation is the Sine-Gordon equation, and that is known to be an integrable system, a soliton equation. But then also Catan studied a conformally flat hypersurface in, R4 is okay too, but in S4. And in that equation turned out to be also a soliton equation. And the Egorov metric, it's also a classical work in Dabu's book that you want to study orthogonal coordinates in Euclidean space so that the coordinates is orthogonal, but the GII, the metric tensor, is the gradient of a function. And then also isometric immersions of space forms in space forms. So that means you immerse, isometrically immerse constant sectional curvature manifolds in another one. And all these equations turn out to be soliton equations. And then also we know the harmonic maps from the Lorentzian space R11 to symmetric space. This is a soliton equation. And from R2 to symmetric space, that's also a soliton equation. I mean, of course, from R2 to symmetric space, that's an elliptic nonlinear equation. So we include elliptic systems too, as long as they have similar properties and they can use the techniques from soliton theory to solve them. So the interesting problem, of course, is a global one. So what about S2 or torus or the higher genus? And the method so far can be applied to, can be used is for S2. That was the work of Uhlenbeck in the late 80s. And then also hitching for the torus into S3. Then also there's another class of maps that Uhlenbeck and I realized that if you take the Schrodinger map from R1 cross R1 to Hermitian symmetry space, so Hermitian symmetry space, you have a connection, Levi-Civita connection. So you take the gradient, so gamma is x and t variable. So gamma x gradient, that is just the gradient of the energy function, and then you take its complex structure. So that is, oh, I wanted to use this. So this one is the energy function, gradient of energy function, and then you multiply by I. Then that's what we call the Schrodinger map. So for example, this is really the baby example for Schrodinger map. From R1 cross R1, this equation actually is integrable. So for example, if we take the simplest case, say R1 cross R1 to S2, to standard two sphere, then the equation in the governed set is really the nonlinear Schrodinger equation, is this with the plus sign. But if I replace the S2 by the upper half plane, the Poincaré upper half plane, then the governing equation for the wave map, it's the defocusing Schrodinger, means you have a minus sign here. So these are the some of the very well-known examples. And then, of course, we also know the Young-Mills equation on R4, and if you and also on R2 too, this also has a Lux pair, which is one of the key key facts, key properties of integrable system, and we can use that method to study on R4, for example, this Heechin, Malin, Dreamfall, and they, and Atiya, they got the soliton solutions with finite energy Young Mills field, the whole Young Mills field has a Lux pair, but you can get the self-dual Young Mills. And then the R22, it's a little bit different, and the Wald has many work, and then for multiple equation, it's one-dimension reduction. The multiple equation is a really nice integrable system too. So the last one that was kind of motivated Ulumba and me to study, try to see whether this the algebraic method I'm going to describe, can we understand what's the tau function in a geometric way, and what is the Virasoro actions on the tau function? And there's a Witten's conjecture that says the generating function of the quantum cohomology of a point is given by the tau function of the KdV hierarchy. And moreover, that tau function is fixed by the Virasoro action. So we wanted to see whether we could understand this in a more simpler way, and also try to see whether we can see more examples of the like the KdV type. So now that's my motivation from geometry, how we get into this problem. So I was interested mainly in the classical immersion problem and isometric immersion submanifolds with special property. And Uhlenbeck was working on the Schrodinger map, and then we kind of talked together. We see we are really interested in the same thing, so we start a long collaboration. And so the second part is I want to describe you a method that was first gradually developed. So Zakharov, Shabbat, and Abelowitz, Kopp, Newell, and Segal, and then Mark Adler, Adler and Van Mabeke, and Gelfand Dickey, Cooper Schmidt Wilson, Dreamfeld Sokolov, and many, many more people contributed to this method. And we have reformulated in a very simple, nice way to use. So I'm just going to give our version. So now we start with an infinite dimensional formal Lie group with two half subgroups. And the condition is these two subgroups should intersect only at identity, and its Lie algebra is a direct sum as a vector space of the Lie algebra L. Then we call this L plus minus a splitting of the big group, and the Lie algebra is a splitting of L. So what I'm going to do is I will introduce this splitting, and then we introduce a sequence of commuting elements and linearly independent commuting elements in the positive half algebra. Moreover, we require J1 really generates all the other of Js. So those are, we need two ingredients. One is this splitting of the group, equivalently splitting of the Lie algebra, almost equivalent. And then we need a sequence of commuting independent elements in the positive algebra. Now with this, I'm going to build you a hierarchy of soliton equations. And you will see a lot of the known one will come up. So the soliton hierarchy we will consider is a evolution PDE. So it will be on the space of maps from R to M. M is you take the conjugation of J1, which is in the plus element, conjugate by the negative group, and then you take the positive component, and that's our manifold. And a lot of example, this M will be finite dimension, and then we want to build PDE on evolution of this on this manifold. So the soliton hierarchy, as I say, there will be you given a smooth. So I want to describe, kind of derive it, how we do it. So because our manifold, if you go back, you see it's GJ1, G inverse. So if I have a map from R to M, then at every point, I can choose my G. So I can choose the G, I call it M now because it depends on X, such that the MJ1, M inverse is equal to my C. So now, this condition is equivalent to this one. So this just says that we have, and the flow we want to build is just d cos c, the positive part, and then we take dx minus cos c bracket with this positive part. The mj, but I'm not using mj1 m inverse anymore. For the js flow, I'm using jj. So this is a very simple, but this equation is like an evolution equation for my map cos c. So I have x variable and I flow in t variable. But this one is easily seen that it's really the same as the bracket of dx minus cos c and dtj minus this one. So that means my equation automatically has a flat connection. So it's a zero curvature formulation for the equation we have. And such a thing we call Lux pair, because Lux was the first one who derived this type of equation for KdV. And the theorem is you can prove quite easily that these flows under this space of maps actually commute. So what gradually I wanted to, maybe before I go on, so is this really computable? Can you calculate the flow if I give you L, and do we have examples? So now I'm going to give a two set of examples. That will be the two basic examples I will use here. The first one is the vector nonlinear Schrodinger equation. So it's n-component nonlinear Schrodinger equation. So the splitting, it's just the loop algebra with the coefficient. So my lambda is a spectral parameter. So my algebra is the loops, the loop algebra with value in the Lie algebra un plus 1. And then we split them as a positive, non-negative power series and negative power series. We can check easily the bracket of L is just, the bracket is just the bracket in un plus 1. So we have two subalgebra. So now we have a splitting, and the group is just the group of loops. So this is the Fourier series of the loops into the group, unitary group. So now in this example, if I take A to be very simple, just diagonal matrix I, and then the last one is minus I, and jj to be A lambda j. So this jj will lie in my positive algebra because you only have a positive series. And this commute because it's all A lambda I bracket with A lambda j. So we have a commuting independent sequence. So this is the vacuum sequence. And the slides before I say how you construct, actually that method is a constructive method. So you can write down the flow. The flow will be end up for maps of Q to R, R2. So if you flow it, then become R2 to Cn plus 1, so a column vector. And if we use that recipe I mentioned, if you compute the first, the one generated by J1 is just the translation, Qt1 equal to Qx. The second one, you get the vector nonlinear Schrodinger equation. And then you get the third one, you get the whole hierarchy, because each Jj gives you a flow, and this flow are commuting. So maybe I will have two examples. This is one of my main example, and I like to compare the theory later. So let me write down the Cn plus 1 nonlinear Schrodinger equation. This one is Qt equal to I times Qxx. So the cubic nonlinearity, and this one is coupled. So here my Q, it's from R2 into Cn plus 1. It's coupled because you have nonlinear terms here, which you couple them. So this is one of the, so this we call the vector nonlinear Schrodinger hierarchy. So this one actually, if I write in the beginning, I say if I take n equal to 1, this is essentially the equation for Schrodinger map into S2. But if I do this one, this is geometrically is the Schrodinger map into CPN. And the second type I want to talk about is KdV. So I'm going to only write down one, but the construction actually gives you for any n. So the KdV equation is the first one that really we know is completely integrable Hamiltonian. So this is Qxx plus 2q, sorry, 6qqx. So to construct this one, I use a strange splitting. I have to talk about the reason is I needed the splitting. Later, it will become clear. Once I know how we use the Lie algebra splitting to get the equation, then we know the symmetry of the moduli space. So for KdV, we understand a lot, but we would like to see what is the symmetry group. So, but to do that, actually, I formulate n by n case. So if you take n minus to be the strictly lower triangular n by n matrix, and the b minus is the lower triangular. Now, looks very strange. I want a linear operator from SLNC to the strictly lower triangular. I want this to be linear map so that the kernel is the lower triangular. So it means I just make the upper triangular go to the lower, strictly upper triangular go to the lower triangular, strictly upper triangular go to the strictly lower triangular. But we demand and satisfy this algebraic equation, quadratic algebraic equation. The reason is just you will find out by a simple computation is to make this Lie algebra, make this set A, which is the power series of non-positive power series, but we want the zero term is determined by the upper triangular part of the A minus coefficient. So it's a very strange condition, but the reason we get this is because we find the splitting for KdV, and then we see how to do n by n. But this will make this become a subalgebra. And this one obviously has a positive part. Oh, it's a misprint. It's Lb minus plus L plus. If you take all the positive, non-negative coefficient, and then you take the negative, but add the constant term in the negative part, but the constant term of the negative part is depending on the minus one coefficient. So this, you get an unusual splitting of this loop algebra. So for this, you see the problem, it's a very simple problem now. You have many splitting if you can find such a this finite dimensional problem. You find the solution of this one. Then you get a splitting. Then the question is, do we get interesting hierarchy, interesting PDEs? And if you look at I have to say what's the vacuum sequence. So for the vacuum sequence, we take EN1 lambda. EN1 is the elementary matrix. And then plus the E12 up to E23, and then up to EN minus N. So basically, you are using the lowest root plus times lambda plus the sum of simple roots. But this Jn, J to the power n is identity. So in order to make it independent, they obviously commuting. I just need to take Jj. J is not zero. So we put this as our commuting independent sequence. Then we can construct a hierarchy of soliton PDEs. And this, we give a name, say, n by n KdVb. So just coded the information that we are constructing for loop algebra of SLNC. And the B means that matrix B. Because a different B give me a different splitting of this loop algebra in SLNC. So what if I say KdV, I must be able to construct that one. So it's a simple computation to see if I do 2 by 2 case. You see the n plus is one dimension, n minus is one dimension. So you essentially have only two maps, which satisfy, 2b satisfy that. And then you just get the KdV. So this says the KdV hierarchy can be constructed from a splitting of the loop algebra in SL2. And you consider the flow generated by GS3 that you get this KdV. But then in n equal to 3 is simple enough. So a graduate student worked with me, D. We just wrote down, solve it by simple algebra method, and then you calculate the flows. So we got 13 families. There are total 13 families. So this is a little bit interesting, and I don't know how to interpret it. Therefore, I wrote it down here. So one of these 13 families is just B have to tell upper triangular matrix, how to map to the lower triangular matrix. So basically, we just want to find the 3x3 matrices satisfy the algebraic equation before. And this one satisfies, but you have one parameter of solutions. The C is your parameter. So if I have one family of splitting with the same vacuum sequence, so if you go back, you see I'm using the same splitting. I use a splitting, but my vacuum are the same. My sequence to generate the flow are the same. So if I have a family of these splittings, that means I will get I can deform my soliton hierarchies. So that's what happens. So in this example, we actually just compute. We get the 3x3 KDV hierarchy. The second flow, J2, is given by this system. You have two functions, U1 and U2, and it's a second order. It actually can be third order. You see, that's what happened. It depends on this. So this is a whole thing. I should say B of C. So for each C, I get a map, get a subalgebra, a negative subalgebra. For that fixed C, I compute the hierarchy, the second flow, I get this one. So now it says, you see, I can make a C, I can choose C so that this is zero. In this family, one of the only one, which is a second order, and then if C is not equal to zero, I get a third order. And this hierarchy really moves continuously because I have this C. And so if C equal to 1/2, I get this equation. But this one, it's if you plug in, substitute, you get, I think this is called the Burgers equation. But if you take, say, the constant here, the third term here, if we choose the constant so that this is zero, then we get a second order, and we write it down, we get a nonlinear Schrodinger type. But the nonlinearity is not cubic. It's a different one. So in this way lies, so you can deform that one, the first one, the Burgers equation, to this equation, just through my algebra. So this this gives you the, and then for n, you can, or actually I should say, Uhlenbeck and I first find the equations, we find the B for each n. So we do have examples for each n. So now, so that I give two examples. One set of example I didn't write down because they don't have a pattern. That for each n, we have a system of soliton equations. And now I wanted to just use this simple-minded, I have a splitting of my Lie algebra, usually loop algebra, and I have a sequence of commuting element in L plus, and I give a mechanism how to construct soliton hierarchy. I already say they are commute, so they already feeding some, maybe these are integrable systems. So let's see how do we solve them. So now I want to derive the properties of these hierarchies. So old hierarchy I'm discussing is constructing from this splitting and a sequence of commuting element in L plus. We call the vacuum sequence. So now the way is you with this, then we know we have a hierarchy of equations. We basically don't even need to write down the equations, we know the solutions. Because V, if you take the exponential, so the two parameter exponential generated by J1 and JJ, you call this V. Then given any element in the negative group, so this is in the positive group because J1 and JJ are in the positive Lie algebra. So you have a positive group element and the negative group element. This one depends on x and t. This one just depends on the loop. And you have this one, we prove a local factorization theorem that in a neighborhood of x, t at 0, 0, we can factor them so that this is a positive element times negative element now can be written as a negative times positive. So once you can factor them, you do the factorization and sometimes called Riemann-Hilbert problem, then you just use this m. You build this, take the MJ1, M inverse positive component, then this will be a solution. So this says for each element in the negative group, we can build a solution of our high soliton hierarchy. And this we call the inverse scattering, the formal one. Why we say called formal? Because we get a solution, but the solution, this is basically an analytic solution, local analytic solution, because we can only factor in a neighborhood of 0, 0. But if, so the hard analysis problem is to see under what condition you can get global solutions. And those, if the group we study, the loop group we study, the loops into group, if the group is compact, then we know we have very good answer. Otherwise, you have to really rely on solving Riemann-Hilbert problem. So now we just use the terminology, say, for each negative element, we construct a solution, CF. And then we say CF has a scattering data F. But the map is not one-to-one. You can have two different scattering data. So we call a scattering data, it's more than the usual scattering data. So each F in the negative group gives me a solution. So this tells you you can have a lot of solutions. And I will discuss more, can we really, factorization problem, usually you cannot write it down. But in certain situations, you can. So moreover, this is the symmetry I'm talking about. So we have this, this type of PDE. And then we, from looking at the equation, there's no symmetry. It's not obvious you have a big symmetry group. However, what we just described, from each F, I construct a CF. But if you look at the L minus, you have a very simple action of L minus on the L minus by left multiplication. So if you just consider the C at GF, so the solution associated to GF, you define that to be the action of G on solution associated to F. That simple-minded thing, you can write down rigorously to give you an action of L minus on the space of solutions. So that's why I'm saying if we know a solution already has exhibit a lot of soliton behaviors, then what we like to get the splitting is because then we find out the hidden symmetry of this equation. This L minus, the negative group, is the symmetry group. And then I also say that this gives us a construction of many solutions. But the factorization problem is Riemann-Hilbert problem, which usually you cannot solve. But if you take the negative element, for example, I take the negative power series, so in the group level means I have a holomorphic map at infinity on the sphere. Then if that group is also, the entries are rational functions, then that factorization can be computed. And then you can get explicit solutions. And the action can be computed too. So the action gives us the classical Backlund-Dabu transformation for soliton equations. And also the orbit of these rational loops at the vacuum, the trivial solution, gives us the pure solitons, which are all explicit and infinite families, and can be computed explicitly. So this tells us the symmetry. So this is just from very simple splitting. We get the symmetry of the equation. We also get the soliton solutions, explicit soliton solutions. And we also get this Backlund Dabu transform. So this is some more property of this. But then next thing, I'm just going to be very vague. I say they are Hamiltonian PDE. So I have to say, what is the Hamiltonian structure? So the Hamiltonian structure, it's suppose on the Lie algebra I have, the big loop algebra, I have a sequence of ad-invariant non-degenerate bilinear form. Then we can naturally embed our phase space, I should say, it's a misprint. I should say the phase space is the maps into M. We can make this into the coadjoint orbit, embedded into a coadjoint orbit of C infinity L minus So you can embed into a coadjuvant orbit, and this manifold, this is embedded submanifold, it's a Poisson submanifold. So now there's a natural way to write down the Poisson structure for the PDE, and the PDE we constructed will be Hamiltonian with respect to this Poisson structure. Moreover, this Poisson structure are compatible. So that's what we call the, actually you only need two, the other are generated by these two, the first two. So, and the, for example, for loop algebra, so this one is a little bit complicated, but the idea is always this way. You have the splitting, and we have the phase space, then we can split the space of maps from R to L into, we can get the coadjuvant orbit, and then the coadjuvant orbit has a natural symplectic structure, and we can identify the way we embedded, we can make this a Poisson submanifold. Then the PDE we constructed by this splitting and the J will make the equation Hamiltonian. So that is in the literature we call bi-Hamiltonian. So for KDV, if you apply this method, you get the two standard Hamiltonian structure. So maybe to make it more down to us, let me write down. So here I say I have a C infinity R to R. This is my space. So the first Poisson structure, so if I have a function from here to R, then I can do the gradient. So the Poisson structure is just, so it's QT equal to gradient F of Q, and then you take the Poisson operator at Q. So in this case, the Poisson operator is just, you take the derivative operator. That's the Poisson operator. So here, the F you can take to be, I think it's QX square minus 1/2, my constant may be wrong, plus Q cube dx. So you have a Hamiltonian, it's a gradient, it's Euler-Lagrange give us QXX plus, so gradient F is QXX plus 3Q square. But then you take the Hamiltonian, is QT equal to just the derivative operator, so you get QXX plus 3Q square X, which is exactly that. So this gives the first symplectic structure, and this is one of the orbit, the embedding one way as an orbit. But then there's another Poisson operator, which is third order, and that also make the KDV Hamiltonian, but with a different different functional, different Hamiltonian. So this, the method, it's what I say, but to explain it, it's a little bit more involved. But it's really, you find a very natural embedding, and then the embedding make the submanifold M, C infinity Rm, to be a Poisson submanifold. Then what are the commuting Hamiltonians? I mean, you, for all these flows, what we do is you just take MJ, J, M inverse, the M is coming from that formal inverse scattering, and then you bracket with J1, and you take minus one. The zero inner product should be minus one. This gives the family of commuting Hamiltonians. So that means the first one tells us what are the symplectic structure, what are the Poisson structure, and then it will make the flow we constructed are Hamiltonian flows, and the Hamiltonian function are given by this sequence. So that's so you may think this is all magic, but the reason is really because there's an infinite abelian group acting on the space Hamiltonianly, and this is its moment. So this explains the Hamiltonian aspect. So now maybe I want to talk about tau function. My tau function may be different from, there's another talk on tau function. This tau function is first written, I think, described by George Wilson in 1991. It's very conceptual. So what he realized you use this splitting, you can get soliton hierarchies. So the tau function is another ingredient, which of course a lot of people use infinite Grassmannian. But this is another description. So you take the Lie algebra L, and suppose you have a two-code cycle on it, and this two-code cycle is supposed to vanish on the both half of the Lie algebras. Then for this two cycle on the Lie algebra L, you can just use left translation, get two forms on the group L, and you take the central extension of the group L, so it's a C star extension. C star means C minus the zero. And so that the property is this first term class of this C star principal bundle should be your two left invariant two forms. So this is all very conceptual. You take a two-code cycle, vanishes on your two halves, and then you build the principal C star bundle so that over L, so that the first term class is L. Luckily, Siegel and Presley's book give a very good concrete construction of this this bundle. And then use that, you can see, you can construct a cross-section on the L plus union L minus to L hat. So it means you can take a section of that projection L hat goes to L on L plus piece and L minus piece. And the way he defines the tau function is, you remember tau function is a function, local function defined in a neighborhood of, so if I want to talk about n variables, so it means I have n flows, I have these n flows, they all commute. Therefore, I can solve the first one and then solve the second one, the third one. So I really just solve the n first n together. Then you remember when we use the factorization of VT M inverse to build the solutions. So we have a VT, which I write down there, F inverse, we factor them into MT inverse ET. So this piece is in L minus, this piece in L plus. Because factorization, it's only done in a neighborhood of, can be only carried out in a neighborhood of zero. So we get this all defined in a neighborhood of zero. But then we have a cross section. So we can leave, so maybe let me draw the picture. I have L hat, L, this is my central extension, my fiber, so C star acting on here. Now if I take this VT and F, I lift them up. So I have this S only lift the L plus and L minus. So I can lift them up. So I get S VT, so I will get S VT and S F inverse. But they project onto the same element as SMT inverse and SET. So they are in the same fiber. So when I lift by S, these two are in the same fiber. So the left-hand side and the right-hand side are in the same fiber, differ by action of C star, and that's the tau function. So his definition is very clean and very simple. And it's not computable because the idea is extremely simple. You just, because we have the factorization theorem, actually it's easy to prove, the local factorization theorem. So you get a function now, complex function, complex valued function, defined in a neighborhood of the origin, and this is the tau function. So that's, but I want to recall you that if I do MT inverse, I project down to the first part, then that solves the flow up to the nth flow. If I put more T variables, I solve more flows. So obviously, there should be a relation between my tau function and my solution. Because for given F, the scattering data in the negative group, we build a tau function now, which is one single function. But we build soliton flows, which is many more functions. So for example, for NLS, it has n functions. For KDV, n by n KDV, we have n minus one functions. But the tau only has one function. So the problem is, the next thing I want to study is, can we recover the solution from the tau? And the data is known in KDV. That's why we all want the data to be true, but it's not true. So I think actually Wilson found out already, he gave an example for nonlinear Schrodinger. You cannot recover the nonlinear Schrodinger solution from its tau function. So what is the reason? And his remedy is he built another tau function, more tau functions, try to recover. But we use different methods. So we proved the following theorem. So this is the setup. You take a f and you factor them. Then for f in L minus, although the tau function is not easy to compute, but we are able to write down the derivative of tau functions, the first derivative and the second derivatives. They all in terms of m. So that means it's very likely we will be able to recover our solution. So maybe I write down here what I have. It's because it's many slides before. Given a f in L minus, I build a solution. This is a solution of my hierarchy, of soliton hierarchy. But we also now build one single function, tau function. And they all represent, they all can be computed from M. That's what it says. Up to the tau, if you take log tau and T, the derivatives we can compute. So if we have this formula, then we know the derivative of tau, ln tau. Also, we know if we vary the scattering data f, so if I take a one parameter family of f in the negative group, and you can take the derivative of the corresponding tau function in s variable, then again, it's computed in terms of this m and e. So that's a very useful formula for us, because we like to be able to compute something. And so this is the question I'm asking. Can we recover solution of Cf from tau f? And the answer for nonlinear Schrodinger is no. And it's very simple to see, because if I take, even I say n equal to 1, for n equal to 1, so it's just one complex function, you see if Q solution of NLS, then you have a very simple multiply by a unit one complex number, constant. It's still the EI theta pool, EI theta pool, EI theta norm square is 1, and EI theta. So this is a solution. So nonlinear Schrodinger has a very simple finite group acting, finite dimensional group acting on it. And then how about in terms of f? So that means if f in L minus 1, then EI theta times f times E minus I theta also in L minus 1. And we see that the solution of f is Q, gives you Q. Then this one is the solution of Cc, EI theta f E minus I. It's Cc, EI theta f times E minus I theta. So you have an S1 action on this, which should change the solution. But you can prove its tau remains the same. So that explains nonlinear Schrodinger and KDV are different in this sense. The tau function leave this simple S1 action invariant, but they act on solutions. They really move the solutions. However, for this one, it doesn't have that. Doesn't have that finite dimension symmetry. And then what we see is you can get the solution Q if you take log tau f, and you take T1, our the formula you see in the slides before, you will see that this is exactly give you QF, the solution. So these are different for the, these two has this difference. However, both equations are really completely integrable. The with the action angle variable, this one was done by Zakharov and Fadeyev and Zakharov, and this one was given by the in the beginning given by Zakharov and Shabbat, but then Dives written down the action angle variable rigorously. So both for n equal to one. So for n equal to one, both are completely integrable, but the tau function behaves differently. So here you only expect tau function can recover the solution up to the this S1 symmetry, and that is the case we proved. And for n works too. So where are we now? So that explains what I just said. And then for KDV, it works. And then for this n minus one component KDV type, they also work. You can recover the solution from the log tau derivative, but not only the T1 derivative. You need to use T1, 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 T2, up to T1, Tn minus 1. So you need to use n minus 1 second derivative to recover the solution. So that's one part we answer this question. And then I didn't state the Cn plus 1, which basically is that you need another constant to recover the solution, because to compensate with your finite group action. So now I have just a little bit time. So the Virasoro action, it's also very strange to us as a geometer, but the action is the algebra is easy to describe. You take the diffeomorphism group and of circles, and you consider the positive group is the one that is a boundary value of a holomorphic map inside. Then there's a subalgebra there, which is lambda j plus 1 dd lambda. Then, of course, you can just write down, say, the the Virasoro algebra is an algebra generated by Kc-J, satisfy this bracket condition. And then the action we are constructing is not on the full algebra, but on the V plus. So just the Kc-J, J bigger than minus 1. And so our construction is, again, very, very simple. It motivates the computation. So we construct, so suppose I have a splitting of the group, loop group in GLN, and my plus group is just the GL, the same as before, non-negative power series. And now suppose, you see there is a very simple action of diffeomorphism group on L, because you can just trace the circle. You have loops, you let it acting on the circle, so it has a natural action. But that won't give you the Virasoro action on soliton hierarchies. So now you given, I also give a C, I need another ingredient. I need a one parameter subgroup of GLN, which we call C. Now you take a K in the positive diffeomorphism group of the circle, F in the negative group. So you can compose K You can compose K inverse to make an action, but if you multiply on the right by another homomorphism given by this, this gives you an action on L, but not on L minus 1, because this won't be in L minus 1. So we can factor, therefore we factor this original is an action on L, we factor into take the negative part. So now we make an element of L minus goes to L minus. And you can check this is an action. And this action, it's just very simply on the group level, L minus 1. This defines an action. Therefore, you can calculate a subalgebra, the corresponding linear action, infinitesimal action, which is given by a nice formula. You can write it down. So this simple-minded thing, actually, you can get the Virasoro action on the two hierarchies I mentioned. So the Virasoro action is for different hierarchy, I have to look, I needed a for each C, the one parameter subgroup, I get an action, but the action may not be very natural. So the natural condition is we put on is to make this lambda d lambda plus add j1. We want them preserve the first element in my sequence. Then we can write down the action, and this computation is very long. That's why we get the you can compute the action. So I have the action on L minus, but each L minus element give me a tau function. But for the tau function, I have induced action, and I have to compute on this induced action what are the vector fields. The vector fields are all written down. It's a differential operator. Very old. So for the Cn plus C, the n component NLS hierarchy, we get the minus one. It's all the first few. It's easy, but then the higher one, the computation is quite long. But you get this nice, kind of almost universal. You get this nice formula for the vector field on tau functions. And then for KDVB, that hierarchy I do, then you take a different C. For nonlinear Schrodinger, you just take identity. The one parameter group is identity. For this one, we have to choose this one because the shape of J. And then you can compute the Virasoro action. You get these formulas. So we are kind of happy that we got this type of formulas, which we never know how they get it. I think physicists have intuition how to get it. But we find this simple method. As I say, this computation is hard, but we do get this agrees when you use Gelfand-Dickey. This is the same. So now maybe I have only a few minutes. Let me just say what our program is. We are not very successful for our goal. So one thing is there a way, a systematic way to see whether a geometric PDE is integrable system? It's always very hard because you need to have a Lux pair. But the Lux pair is not enough. You also need to have this splitting. So if you know your problem has a moduli space, has a very natural curve in it, so that's the C parameter lambda, then can we find a Lie algebra splitting? Because I hope I at least demonstrate that once you have the splitting, you really learn a lot about the PDE. And you can write down solutions. Then the other thing is Uhlenbeck and I and Dai, we actually solved the monopole equation on R21 for the gauge group UN. But our method doesn't work for a general semi-simple Lie group. And the theory may be very different. So it will be interesting to see, can we do the analysis there? And then we have ways to construct all these integrable systems, soliton equations, can we find a geometric problem that is governed by this equation? So that's actually related to the talk by Cashin, that he did give some geometric way to see the discrete version of the KDVN. And there's a continuous version for KDVN, the curve flows. So this problem for curve flows, we have a quite good answer. But you also can apply it to surface or submanifolds, then we don't have we know a lot, but we don't know enough. Then the last project, we have very little success, is we cannot see how we use our method to prove this Virasoro action on tau function only have one fixed point. Even for KDV, we don't know how to prove that with our simple method. And so the question is, the final one is really our goal, but we almost give up now. Because can we find the soliton hierarchies from splitting so that they have, when we have this, we have Virasoro actions, we have tau functions, on tau functions, then can we find hierarchies that has a unique fixed point for this action? Because if it has it, maybe those tau functions are very special. And those hierarchies are special. They will give us generating function for other geometric problems. But we don't know. And we are not expert on that, so we couldn't really do much, but we hope to, just from geometric point of view, can we find such hierarchies? So that is, I don't know, we stuck on that for a while. So I think I stop here, and thanks for your patience. Yeah? Right. So it is essentially Adler's paper on KDV, and that set up the whole thing. So I gave a lot of reference. So the first part, it's really a lot of them. We just work out a lot of examples, and essentially the splitting was known. Yeah, but then we try to find more splittings. Yeah. Probably it's the same, right? Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the same formula in the end. We just wanted to see how you get it very simply. Oh yeah, I think the formula we get agrees with these two examples. The nonlinear Schrodinger, I don't know, but for the Gelfand-Dickey part, it's the same as the classical one. For example, it's in a book by a survey article we compared, it's the same. So it's just we try to understand from a geometric way, all by same mechanism, just from the starting from Adler's construction, you just have a splitting of algebra, try to derive everything, yeah. And then we like to, also people can say, everything comes from KP, and that's true. It's a reduction of KP. But with geometers, we like to have flat connections with different groups. So that's why we prefer the loop group formulation. Yeah. So I should say in the beginning, we try to understand how this theory all fit into one framework, and basically it's really Adler's 79 paper tells a lot. But we didn't do the, probably if you do the, you use the R matrix, you can be more general than this, and we'll get better, even better results.